Hi, this is Winners Chapel International, New York. Thank you for downloading our podcast. We hope this inspires you, builds your faith, and motivates you. Please make sure you subscribe to get new messages every week. Enjoy the message.
Our prophetic focus for the month is godliness is profitable unto all things. Can we say that together, please? And our running theme for the month on Sunday is understanding the cost and cure of ungodliness. Understanding the cost and cure of ungodliness. We have emphasized that nothing of value is ever free. So godliness is at a cost. Righteousness is not just what we believe or declare, but what we do. It is a cost. It has a cost. Likewise, ungodliness also has a cost. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, the Bible says, again, the kingdom of heaven, that's God, talking about godliness, is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found it, he hided it for the joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he has and buy that field. That's God talking about godliness. It's worth any investment a man may want to put in. That is why if godliness has a cost, ungodliness also has its own cost. No wonder Apostle Paul said, for bodily exercise profiteth little. It profits on the earth. When we exercise our body, when we keep our body in shape, all the profit we get in maintaining this body is only for the earth, because we don't use the same body in heaven. Does it make sense like that? But spiritual exercise, godliness is profitable on the earth, and it's also profitable in heaven, because that is what will take you to heaven. So it's very, very important for us to understand that when we live ungodly life, it has a cost. It can cost us eternity. By praying the name of Jesus Christ, someone here will be delivered from every spell of ungodliness in Jesus' mighty name. So quickly, we want to see the cost of ungodliness. What godliness is going to cost us? If you live in ungodliness, you are going to pay for it. And that is what the cost is. Then after looking at that, we're also going to look at the cure for ungodliness. So pay full attention this morning. Now, number one, ungodliness blocks access to healing and health. When you live ungodly life, you may be hindered. Not even may, you will be hindered. When you are living ungodly life deliberately, it's just like even in the natural world, they will tell you tobacco smoking is dangerous to your health. True or false? Now, the same thing is applicable in the realm of the spirit. When you are living in sin, you deny yourself access to healing and health. Look at one example from the scripture in Matthew chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. Please go with me to Matthew chapter 2, 5 to 11. When Jesus saw their faith, that was the man that was lowered from the roof, the paralytic man. When Jesus saw their faith, please everybody shut down your microphone. Make sure all the microphones are off. I'm hearing some vibrations. It might be some microphones are on. Please make sure everyone who has microphone, make sure they are turned off. Praise the Lord. Now, I go back again. Mark chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. Look at that. Your sins are forgiven you. So that paralysis might have been as a result of sin. There was no detail there, but with that statement, it shows that sickness can be as a result of sin. And one can be hindered of healing, health, and wholeness when it's not forgiven of sins. It's not all sickness and disease that is caused by sin. If you look at the story of the blind man in John chapter 9, they asked him, who sinned, him or the parent? Jesus said, none, but the glory of God. But there are sickness and disease that could be as a result of sin. So the price one pays for ungodliness is that its access is blocked to healing, health, and wholeness. Number two cost of ungodliness is that it blocks access to durable riches. One thing everybody wants on the earth is riches. Nobody wants to live a poverty life. Nobody wants to live in stagnation. The reason why we're all working is for us to live a very comfortable life and also to be able to be a blessing to the world. Everybody wants riches. But when you live in ungodliness, when you get riches in a way that is not right, it's not going to last. When we talk about durable riches, we're talking about riches that last. That you enjoy it, your generation enjoys it, generation after generation endures it. But when you live in ungodliness, it blocks, it denies you access to durable riches, lasting riches. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18, the Bible says, riches and honor are with me. Talking about the wisdom of God. And wisdom of God is God. So talking about the righteous God, honor and riches are with him. And this is the way David put it. I love it. Psalm 112, verse 1 to 3. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. So when you fear the Lord, you will never go into sin because you know God is there. It's just like a house that is surrounded with surveillance camera. When a thief enters into that place, he'll be looking at the camera. Looking at the camera. And now he hears a voice. There are some smart camera now. You can, once there's a movement, you can know. So you can speak. Hello, what are you doing? Praise the Lord. So that's the same way when a righteous man wants to go into sin, he knows, he's conscious that God is there. So he doesn't want to do it. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandment. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright. Say with me, generation of the upright. We be blessed. With what? Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. So that righteousness endures forever, and the riches also endures forever. But whoever lives in unrighteousness, the riches cannot last. So when you defraud someone, you will enjoy the riches just for a moment like that, but the way it's going to end, it's going to end mysteriously. And it also cost that person his life or her life and also affect the generation. Say, God forbid. That's what the scripture says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 11. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. So what is the importance of the wealth you just get and you don't live long? So please, don't live in ungodliness. Don't defraud others. Don't defraud your business partner. Don't lie. Don't take what does not belong to you. Is somebody listening to me? You are hearing me in-house right now. You are hearing me online. Whatever that does not belong to you, run away from it. It's better to be poor. It's better to sleep without food than to go and take what does not belong to you. In wherever you work, in your corporation, in your business, in the house of God, anywhere, anything that does not belong to you, don't take it. Run away from it. And if you are convicted by the Holy Ghost, repent and stop doing it, because it will cost you durable riches. Number three, ungodliness blocks access to help in times of trouble. There is no one that can help like God. God is the source of our help. Divine help is what we're talking about. In Psalm 46, verse 1, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. But when you are living in sin, even you to call on God, you will just be begging for mercy all the time. Because you know you have done wrong. Because you know you have taken the wrong steps. So you don't want your access to divine help to be blocked. Praise the Lord. Look at the example of this king, Hezekiah. When the prophet was sick to the point of death, and the prophet was sent to him to go and declare his death sentence. He went back to God in Isaiah chapter 38, and he prayed. Look at the way he prayed in verse 3. He said, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. That's New King James Version. And KJV original says, with a perfect heart, and I've done what is good in your sight. Someone living in sin cannot have that kind of boldness. Someone living in sin cannot have that kind of confidence to go before the Lord. He went before the Lord. He said, remember my good deeds. Remember I've lived righteously. Why would you just terminate my life like that? And God added 15 years to him. Shout hallelujah. I pray someone here will not be cut short or untimely in the name of Jesus Christ. And number four, ungodliness blocks access to divine secrets. And I put here that divine secrets are destiny maker. If you really want to fulfill your destiny, you need secrets. You need God to show you his secret. In Psalm 25, verse 14, the Bible says, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now, look at Daniel. We studied his life all through this past week. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, the Bible says, Daniel proposed in his heart, will not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. And now what happened to this Daniel that will not defile himself, that will not live in ungodliness? Look at the story in Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night season. Look at that. The secret of the Lord will always be released or revealed to everyone who walk in righteousness. And in verse 30, it says, but as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living, but for our sakes, who make known interpretation of the kings, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. And if you look at the testimony of Daniel, promotion over promotion, because he lived his life godly before the Lord. One example of his promotion is in the same Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents of whom Daniel was first. Look at that. He was the first president. President of president because of his righteous living. According to history, Bible history, it said Daniel reigned for almost 65 years. Reigned with all the king, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Belteshazzar, Cyrus, Darius, and all of them. Because it was very relevant, because God made him so, because of his righteous living. You may be kind of mocked. There may be a lot of mockery that you are not in vogue, you don't understand the system because you are living a righteous life. But I tell you, when you continue in that path, all those your mockers will still come to celebrate you. They will still come to bow for you. They will still come to ask you how you have been doing it, because your righteousness will always speak for you. I pray in the name of Jesus from today, someone's righteousness will always speak for him, for her, in Jesus' name. Now, that is the cost. Look at those costs. They are very, very expensive costs. You can't afford to live in unrighteousness. Now, how do we deal with ungodliness? How do we deal with forces of ungodliness? Number one, by the spirit of holiness. Certain ungodliness cannot be overcome by your own willpower. That's why you see those who are addicted to smoking, addicted, we had one testimony this morning, addicted to drinking, hard drug, they can't do it by their own power. Even when they go to all these government programs, some of them for a while, they leave it and they go back to it because there's a force. So you need a higher force. Somebody testified in Canaan Land this morning, he was invited to church for the first time last Sunday. He's been trying to leave smoking. He was a chain smoker. He couldn't, but he gave his life to Christ, rise in the church, and the addiction was broken because the Spirit of God came upon him. So there is what we call the spirit of holiness. You must give your life to Christ and pray for that spirit of holiness to come upon you. And we must crave for this spirit of holiness. We must crave for the endowment of the spirit of holiness. In Romans chapter 1, verse 4, the Bible says, and declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the spirit of holiness, talking about Jesus Christ. It is not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. How to deal with forces of ungodliness? Number two, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power in the blood. The blood of Jesus can break any form of addiction. The blood of Jesus can break any form of spell. The blood of Jesus can destroy any form of opposition. And what a joy we are face to face with the blood this morning. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, whatever force of ungodliness that is militating against the glorious destiny of everyone under the sound of my voice, the blood will knock them out. In the name of Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13 to 14. It says, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Shout hallelujah. So you engage anytime you find yourself in any situation you don't want, engage the blood. You can plead the blood. You can sprinkle the blood. You can take the blood in communion. I love what Zechariah says in chapter 9, verse 11 to 12. He said, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Turn ye to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. The blood is a stronghold. In fact, the strongest hold. The blood is the last card. If you use the anointing, it doesn't work. You use the mantle, it doesn't work. Turn to the blood. That was the secret of Egypt, how God delivered the Israelites in Egypt. Pharaoh, you know, was intimidated with several punishment plagues. But at the blood, at the administration of the blood, Pharaoh let go. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, every force of ungodliness, unrighteousness, that will not let you go. As we engage the blood this morning, you shall be let loose. In the name of Jesus. That's why the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And number three, by continuous fellowshipping with the saints. By continuous fellowshipping. When you are living a life of sin, sin likes isolation. We thought about this before. You cannot be sinning publicly. You cannot be committing sin where other brethren are. So when you continue to fellowship, you have this power to overcome sin. And it's not just one man power. Because when you join force with other forces, other spiritual forces, it is the accumulation, it is the summation of the forces that is backing you up. That's why it's good to always be in fellowship. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, the Bible says, exhort one another daily, why it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So when you fellowship, you are charging yourselves up. You are encouraging one another. That's why the Bible says, iron sharpens iron. As one man sharpens the countenance of his brethren. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. So don't neglect fellowship. Now that the church is opening gradually, we are opening all our operations gradually so we can have opportunity to begin to fellowship physically together. Now the Sunday services are opened for people to register. The church is, you know, full to capacity this morning. Praise the Lord. So, but all other opportunity that we have to connect through teleconference, take advantage of that. Take advantage of the covenant or prayer. Take advantage of the WSF. Take advantage of all the Zoom program and the seminars we have to be sure you are there so that the devil will not take advantage of you. And by the time the service is fully opened up, take advantage of always fellowshipping with others so that you can be strengthened up. Because if nobody knows where you are, per time, you know, Satan may be taking advantage of that. There are certain forces you may not be able to overcome, but when you come among brethren, you can ask questions. You can ask somebody to pray with you. You can, you know, pray. You can study together. You can share together. And that's what fellowship does. And of course, when we gather together, there are also forces of heaven, angelic forces, the blood that is also answering for us. So by continuous fellowshipping with the saints, we overcome the force of ungodliness. And I pray in the name of Jesus from today, someone under the sound of my voice will continue to overcome all forces of ungodliness in the mighty name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand and appreciate the Lord this morning. Give him praise and give him glory. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now, let's look at what God has for us in this part of the covenant day of marital breakthrough. We must understand that every challenged marital destiny, such as marital delays, crises of all forms, are manifestations of satanic oppression. Because in the very beginning that God instituted marriage, God instituted it as a good thing. And in the name of Jesus Christ, in this service this morning, whether marital delay or marital challenge or whatever situation your marriage is this morning, the hand of the Lord will visit your marriage. The Bible says, God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. Every marital destiny that is bound with chains this morning will receive freedom. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We must also understand that access to the revelation of the word concerning our glorious marital destiny guarantees our deliverance from the captivity of the powers of darkness. It is the light that terminates darkness. That's a summary of that. When we gain access to revelation of the word, then we have a glorious marital destiny. Everyone who wants to be married, when you gain access to the word, you have a glorious marital destiny. Everyone who is having trouble in his marriage, when you gain access to the light of the word, you begin to enjoy a glorious marital destiny. The Bible says the light shines in darkness and the darkness cannot comprehend it. That's John chapter 1 verse 3. And in Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1 to 3, it says, arise, shine, for your light is come. I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, light is coming to your marriage this morning. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Now, we must understand that we have marital rights in redemption. And what are these marital rights in redemption? That is, every child of God has the right to be married. Everyone wants to be married. And every child of God has the right to enjoy a glorious marriage. Number one, every child of God that so desires has the God-given right to be settled in marriage. And I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, in this service this morning, you shall be settled in marriage. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. We must also understand that God instituted marriage. We always put it this way, that our Father is the marriage maker and we are not permitted to be marriage beggar. So you are not begging, oh God, please, you already have it. All you need is just to know how to enjoy it. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 to 18, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. So God made marriage. He instituted marriage. And everything God instituted is good. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus, peace shall be restored to your marriage. And everyone who desires to be married, will be married in Jesus' mighty name. So understand, number three, your right to marriage is that marriage is a good thing. Marriage is a good thing. And every good thing is our entitlement in Christ. It's a good thing. That's what the Bible calls it. But every good thing is our entitlement in Christ, including peaceful, joyful, fruitful, and settled married life. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, for every marriage that is experiencing trouble this morning, I decree peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus speaking in Matthew 7:11, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? As you ask this morning, your marriage shall be settled in the name of Jesus Christ. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 34, verse 10. Now, what then are the keys to commanding marital breakthrough? I just want to run through these seven keys for those who want to be married, whether for the first time or maybe widow who wants to go back into marriage, or something happened to your marriage and you want God to restore your marriage. I want you to pay very key attention. I will just run over them because these are things that we need to know. And if you don't know it, you may just be praying and praying. You may receive all the prophetic declaration, and yet you don't know how to apply them to your life. Just pay full attention. I will just run through them because of time. Number one, you must have a vision of your desired marriage. Very clear vision. Anyone you want to be married, vision is very important. Just like any business you want to set up, you must first have a vision. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 3 is a good scripture. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall write when he reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. So what you see determines what you experience. For if you can't see a glorious marriage, there's no way you can experience a glorious marriage. So you must first have the vision. I'm going into marriage. That's what Papa saw when he was going into marriage. The people have been saying marriage is troublesome, marriage is this, marriage is that. But God gave him the picture of what marriage should be. And that's what he's experiencing today. See the kind of marriage you want to. Assumption only brings frustration. Don't just assume. Picture it. Have a marital model in people who have success in marriage. Look at people, and we have examples all around us. Look at people. God, if I want this kind of marriage. So have the picture of that. Number two, disengage from the previous negative mindset. Maybe you have a mindset of, oh, marriage is bad. Marriage, you have to completely disengage yourself. You must disengage yourself from every previous negative mindset because your thoughts affect your life. And I'm speaking to younger ones right now. Your thoughts, or even the older ones, you have been in one marriage before that didn't work well, or you have seen a marriage before, the way your parents raised you, I mean, it was kind of ugly situation, your father and mother fighting all the time, you know, and all of those things, and you think, oh, when I get into marriage, this is how my husband is going to be beating me, this is how my wife is going to be disrespecting me. No, you have to disengage yourself. That's not the plan of God for marriage. Praise the Lord. So it doesn't matter what you have experienced in your previous marriage, disengage your mind. Because the Bible says, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you begin to create a new mindset about the kind of marriage you desire. You have to uninstall, in a computer world now, uninstall the old program and now begin to install the fresh program. Now, number three, know who you want to marry. Don't marry a stranger. And that's the undoing of many. Many who just met somebody in a party or met somebody at a vacation and in 2 weeks just decided to get married. You didn't know the person. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So you must have the knowledge of who you want to marry. Don't marry a stranger. Be careful of distance courtship and social media relationship. Anybody can post anything on social media, but you don't really know him. You don't really know her. Make adequate findings of the person you want to marry. Engage every available media. The church, friend, your pastor, your work. Just be sure you know the person you want to marry. Praise the Lord. That was the undoing of Jacob. In Genesis chapter 29, verse 23 to 27. So don't be interested in just the container at the expense of the content. Oh, you just see somebody is very beautiful, is very shining, and you know, oh, I just like to marry this person. By all means, I must go after her. You don't know what is inside of her. So, know the person you want to marry. Give it time and ask God to reveal to you the true person. Praise the Lord. Well, the world we have right now is a microwave age. Drive through. We just want everything fast. No time to make investigation. No time to seek the face of the Lord. But the Bible says in Isaiah 28:16, therefore, thus says the Lord of God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Number four, seek God's will and direction. Where you want to be, God has already been there. He knew the end from the beginning. And the Bible says, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Even though God is not going to push anyone on you, it is your responsibility to find. But how do you find? You have to find by asking God. You have to find by seeking from the word of God. So don't think you know everything. Wait upon God and ask God for his divine direction. God knows your temperament. He knows everything about you. He knows the right person who is able to compliment you so that he can enjoy your marriage. So don't rush into it. And number five, never feel obligated to continue in any relationship if a conviction is lost. If you lost conviction in a relationship, things are not working. Don't just say, we are just going to patch it. Broken courtship is better than broken marriage. In fact, you can't compare them. And that's why a lot of people are having issues in marriages today. If you are cutting and this person is already, let's go to church, oh no, I'm not going to church. You figure that he's already smoking gradually, his mouth is like this. You notice certain things. Don't say, oh, I'm going to be praying for him. When we marry, he's going to change. Who says? How about he changes you? Now, when you marry Satan's son, you already have Satan as your father-in-law. And so you can't stop your father-in-law from visiting your house. So you have more trouble than you think you can manage. So if you at any point you lose conviction, let everybody go their own way. Don't put yourself under unnecessary burden or pressure. Avoid sentiments that you don't want to break somebody's heart or disappoint anyone. You may not break someone's heart, but your own heart may suffer heart attack later. God forbid, in the name of Jesus. So run for your life when you begin to notice that things are not working and you are not compatible. Don't force yourself into that. And number six, when you enter into marriage, you have to burn the bridge. Say no to divorce. That's the plan of God. That's why you have to take every necessary step to be sure you get it right. Because the divorce is not an option. Never entertain the possibility of divorce. Never say, if it doesn't work, I walk out of it. You have to be very sure before you go into it. Don't agree to marry anyone you can't spend the rest of your life with. So, marry with no plan B. It is not something you want to try, and there is no rehearsal. When you are in it, you are in it. I pray in the name of Jesus, someone under the sound of my voice will not make a wrong step. You won't take a wrong step in Jesus' mighty name of Jesus Christ. And now, quickly, as we begin to round up, we have a glorious destiny. Whether we are marrying for the first time, or we already married, or you married and you lost your marriage, there is hope for restoration. Now, I want to give us what is going to help us, whatever category you are this morning. Now, number one, you must remain in love with God. Remain in love with God. This is how to actualize our glorious marital destiny. Whether first-time marriage or you're already in marriage, you want to enjoy marital bliss, or you are believing God for restoration of your marriage, remain in love with God. Or maybe you are a widow or widower, you don't even want to be married again, or you want to remarry, remain in love with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Remain. Everything will work together for your good. When you love God, there are certain people that didn't even pray before they get married. As they continue to serve God, God's servant gave us his own testimony. His friend came to him, David, now we are of marital age now. Let's begin to pray for marriage. He said, no, I don't need to pray for marriage. We can pray for you. So they started praying for him, but God gave Papa wife first because he was in love with God. God knows what you need per time. When you see someone when you are in love with somebody, you already know what that person needs, and you are striving to meet the need of the person. So love God. Love God by winning soul. God just revealed his agenda to God's servant that these last 3 months of the year is going to open strange doors of blessing, strange doors of miracles for every winner. But this will be received by those who love God, including your marital destiny. Number two, be committed to kingdom advancement and endeavors. Be committed. No good thing will he withhold from those who love him. So be committed. It's either you are praying for souls, or you are on the go winning souls, or you are doing both. We have all opportunities now using the social media, because the world is already on social media. Instead of just posting your picture of vacation, which is good, or posting your family pictures, which is good, make sure you are also posting the scripture. Make sure you are also using that medium to reach out to souls. Plus, wherever you find yourself, in your neighborhood, in your work, in your place of work, in commute, you always meet people. Praise the Lord. There is no way. We are all people related. You meet people on the way everywhere. Be sure you are reaching out with the gospel of Christ. Now that the church is not fully opened, tell them the link. You can just type the link, winnerschapelny.org or winnerschapelny YouTube, just on small paper like that. Just copy and paste, copy and cut it. Like that, and anyone you meet, please join us and put the time of service, Sunday, 9 a.m. Just small things like that, give it to them. Praise the Lord. If you can't do it, we'll make a little of that available for you to pick up in church. Just give it to them. You can be there physically. Yes, be there physically. You can't be there physically. Join us online. Praise the Lord. Be sure you are advancing the kingdom. Because these 3 months will never leave you and I the same in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you advance in the kingdom, God himself will take care of what belongs to you. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things shall be added to you. And number three, beware of pride. Beware of pride. Don't overrate yourself, especially young ladies who want to be married, because God has really blessed you. You completed your first degree at 18, your master's at 21. Now you have your PhD at 24. You already got a good job at 26. You're already a CEO or director at 27. Now you have a huge house, 5 bedroom, 3 baths. You have 2 cars. And now this brother is just struggling to complete his degree. And the first question you ask is, so how about your education? He said, I'm still trying to finish my diploma. I said, please, just even close the chapter. We can't continue. Beware of pride. Beware of pride. So you don't know what plan God asks for you. So don't let pride take what God asks for you away from you. Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. A marriage is honorable. You need to humble yourself. Just pay attention to him first. Let him finish everything he wants to say. Then you cannot advise him, well, you know, we have to be agreed. Two cannot work together except they be agreed. I take pride in education, so I will encourage you to also finish your education. Or what plans do you have? Can we talk over this? At least give him opportunity. Praise the Lord. The same thing in married home too. Husband, pay attention to your wife. Wife, pay attention to your husband. Praise the Lord. Don't let pride. Pride goes before destruction. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ this morning, every spirit of pride shall be destroyed. And number four, engage the power of faith. Engage the power of faith. Don't begin to look at your age. Age is irrelevant when it comes to marital destiny. God has a plan and purpose for you. Don't let somebody begin to pump any negative stuff into you that, you know, if you don't go and marry now, you may reach menopause and you may not be able to give back to children and all of these things. No. Engage your faith. Believe in the word of God. And believe God that God has a plan for you. And that God has a purpose for you. In Mark chapter 9 verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if you will believe, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Believe that there is a man for you. Believe that there is a woman for you. Don't say, well, they have been saying all of these things and no man has ever proposed. Believe God that before this month is over, having attended this covenant day of marital breakthrough, your own marital spouse will show up. Look at what God did for us. Even in the pandemic, in this church this year, 4 people have been gloriously married. 4 couples. Praise the Lord. That's the doing of God. Even when there was no pandemic, when everything was going on, at certain years we don't have 4 marriages. 4 solid marriages. And we have the 51. Praise the Lord. Because they relocated to another state. So we gave them letter to go and do it in the Winner's Chapel in that state. Praise God. Which means 5 couples. Amen. If that doesn't excite you, I don't know what is going to excite you. But that is a proof that your own is the next one. You know, number 5 means grace, which means the grace is available. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, to everyone under the sound of my voice this morning who desire to be married, your own time has finally come. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We are going to be praying this morning. I said everyone who really wants to be married be physically in church this morning. And I decree in the name of Jesus Christ, as you have obeyed, the same way you are physically in this church this morning, that's how we are going to be married, we are going to be conducting your marriage physically in this place. But to those who could not make it, you are under the sound of my voice. I also decree in the name of Jesus, the same thing will happen for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But before then, no good thing can be received by anyone who is not in Christ. No good thing. A marriage is a good thing. Now, your own may not be marriage. The same thing, anything you want, you must first be in Christ. That's why before we partake of the communion this morning, anyone under the sound of my voice that is not born again, you cannot receive any good thing from God. I want to give you opportunity to receive Jesus Christ this morning. Please bow your head wherever you are under the sound of my voice and say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know I have sinned and come short of your glory. Forgive me all of my sins. Wash me with your blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Today I receive you and I will follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Father.
Thank you for listening to Winners Chapel International New York's podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and share the link with your friends and family. Visit us online at www.winnerschapelny.org and fellowship with us online on our YouTube channel, Winners Chapel International, New York. Have a blessed week. God loves you. See you next time.